We're calling Building Community, and it's all about becoming a church for the neighborhood, hence the Mr. Rogers and all of that. I made a point our first week to mention, when we say building community, we're not talking about the church being a community centered around this building. Not these four walls at 26 Brook Street, but that we are a community of people, by the grace of God, becoming a church for the sake of those who live around us. Our first week, we talked about the church as a peculiar community. That the church is a bit different than the rest of the world because we align ourselves with Christ, our cornerstone, instead of anything else. Last week, Pastor Gordon was here and he talked about the church as a missionary community. That God has decided to pursue his creation. That he wants to bring us back with him again. That just as Adam, our first ancestor, he sinned and disobeyed God and turned away from him. And the effects of sin started with him and bled to his family and to the whole world. And we as Adam's descendants are affected by sin. So Jesus came and perfectly innocent died and his righteousness spreads to his church. And through the church, he spreads that to the world. So we are a missionary community that God has called in the places he has placed us to be about his mission. Last week, we plotted a bunch of pins on a map of Kings County, saying that God has placed us here in this community. In Montague, in Beach Point, in St. Peter's, in the communities around Kings County for the sake of his purpose, his mission here on earth. This week, we're talking about the church as a reconciling community. The church as a reconciling community. Now, the word reconciliation is like, it's a big word that we don't use it all the time. Like, I Googled the word this week, and the two biggest things that came up in a Google search is, like, church stuff, because we use reconciliation when we talk about the church, when we talk about our message of the gospel. And also, a lot of stuff came up about the Truth and Reconciliation Act in Canada, where First Nations communities who have been exploited by Canada are working through restoring of relationship. Now, it's one of those words, kind of like the first week when we used the word peculiar. It's just a fancier way of saying weird or different or out of place. Reconciliation is just a $10 word for two people or two parties who were once in disagreement or at odds with one another, where there was conflict. Restoration takes place in that relationship. It's about broken relationships coming together. So it would make sense when we talk about the Truth and Reconciliation Act in Canada, where First Nations have been treated so poorly in Canada, that these two parties that were once in disagreement or at odds or in conflict are seeking restoration, are seeking reconciliation together. And it makes sense that we use it in the church because it's what we're all about. We're about the fact that God and us are being reconciled through Christ. Where there was once conflict and we were at odds because of our sin in conflict with the holiness of God, there's now reconciliation in Jesus. So, as we talk about the church as a reconciling community, we're talking about these themes. And I think this is important for us to latch onto, both in our understanding of our theology, of how it works between us and God, but also what we're called to live out as Christians. Like, we all have relationships. We're all in relationship with other people and know people. And I'm sure that not every single one of our relationships with people is in great shape. Stuff happens. Events occur. Conflicts take place that, if we're being frank, changed the dynamic of the relationships we have with certain people. That there may be something that's happened in the past that has just altered your relationship with a particular person, and now it's awkward, or you don't get along, or you just ignore each other because some kind of conflict has taken place. Change has been made. There's been brokenness involved. I believe that as we talk today about reconciliation from God's word and what it means for us to be reconciled back to God, I think it'll also be something that can show us the importance of reconciliation in our own relationships and how that is a picture of the gospel that we're called to live out as Christians. So, in this series, Building Community, where we are looking what it means to be the church that God has called us to, we're called to be a reconciling community. We're describing the church as a reconciling community for two reasons. Because it's a beautiful picture of the gospel, we see reconciliation defining us because we've been reconciled to God through Christ. And because of Christ, we ought to reconcile with one another. That is how we define ourselves as a reconciling community, that we have been reconciled to God through Christ, and because of Christ, we reconcile with one another. Let's open our Bibles and take a look at this. We're going to be in the book of Colossians to start off. If you want to use one of the Pew Bibles, we'll have a page number up there that you can cheat and get there quicker. We're in Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 to 22. And this passage takes place in the middle of writing that Paul does to the Colossians, where he's writing about who Jesus is and what he's done in a very kind of poetic way. And some scholars think that this is actually like an early hymn of the church, where he's just so beautifully talking about Christ. And this is what he says in verse 19 to 22 about Jesus. "For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him." Beautiful words. So what are some things that we can learn from what Paul is writing here to the Colossians as we talk about reconciliation? Well, the first thing that we notice is that Jesus is the key to God's reconciliation with us. Jesus is the key to God's reconciliation. If you read a bit earlier in the paragraph that Paul writes here in this hymn of Christ, he says that it was through Jesus and for Jesus that God created all things. He says specifically in heaven and on earth. And then he says later on here in our passage that he reconciled to himself all things, things on heaven and things on earth, through the blood of the cross. That Jesus is like the pinnacle. He is the turning point through which everything is created and through which everything will be reconciled. The question is, why does the world need to be reconciled? Why do heaven and earth need to be reconciled through the blood of the cross? Well, Pastor Gordon spoke on this a little bit last week, but this is so important for us to nail down. There needs to be reconciliation in between God's creation and God, because there's conflict between God's creation and God. We read that God created the world and he said it was good, but because of our ancestor Adam and his choice to want to be like God instead of worship God by obeying him, he and Eve turned away, and because of that, sin has corrupted God's creation. That was once very good has become corrupt. And sin has like a disease, spread throughout all of creation. We see it in ourselves, in our sin. We see it in the disease and the corruption and the decay in the world that was not meant to be there. Now, the thing is, because God is perfectly holy, because holiness defines who he is, as we talked about in our Doctrine of God series in the fall, he cannot and will not be where sin is. And so God, who was once very present in his creation with Adam and Eve, because of sin, he had to alienate himself from his creation. because he cannot be there where sin is. It took peace by the blood of the cross of Christ in order to bring us together where there was alienation. I find it significant that Paul makes a point to say this about the blood of the cross was necessary, because it shows us the significance of the holiness of God, the fact that Christ had to die. The significance of the holiness of God, because God could not be reconciled with us unless we, by the righteousness of Christ, were made holy in him, so that he in his holiness could be with us. We see the significance of our sin because of the cross of Christ, that it took God coming and living perfectly and dying for us to make us righteous enough that we can be reconciled to God. This shows us the vastness of the chasm between God and man. It shows us the depth of the conflict of our sin and God's holiness, the fact that Christ had to come and to die on the cross. The reason I'm pointing this out is because there is conflict in our relationships with people. We do have conflict with people. There are people we don't get along with. There are people that it would be great if we could be reconciled to. I want to point out that God took initiative to restore that broken relationship through Christ, and that there was a cost to that reconciliation, Jesus' life on the cross. And when we look at this cosmic schism between God and man that is presented here, it makes the conflict and schism that we have with other people seem small. When we see the vastness of the holiness of God, and we see the depth of our sin and the great blasphemy to God that is, it shows us how much smaller our conflicts with one another actually are. What it shows us is that God was willing to do what it took to overcome that conflict with us. He did what was necessary to fix our relationship, even though it cost him something. A greater conflict than we're in with anyone else. See, when we're wronged, we have a tendency to, in our pride, not want to extend forgiveness. Because in our righteousness, we want to say, they did wrong to me. Like, I don't need to be around them. I don't need to put up with that. Or if we've wronged others, we have a tendency in our pride to say, well, I don't need to apologize to them. I don't need their approval. We don't see that in God's conflict with us. We see God not alienating himself from us eternally, but instead initiating reconciliation through sending Christ, even though it cost him something. He sought reconciliation to the point of death, where God becomes the very sacrifice for sin that he requires from us because of our sin. God did what was necessary, even to the point of loss, in order to reconcile us to him. Here's the thing. As we seek to reconcile with people, as we seek to show this beautiful picture of the gospel in trying to restore our relationships, there's going to be a cost to it. Our pride will have to take a fall in order to restore relationship, for the sake of relationship. Our sense of being righteous will have to fall in order to restore relationship. But the thing is, the fall of our pride and our sense of self-righteousness is nothing compared to what Christ gave up for the sake of restoring relationship with us. If Christ is your Lord, then there is already peace between you and God where there was once hostility. because Christ made peace on the cross, because he paid the price, what was necessary. He took the fall. He presents you because of that, holy and blameless before God, where there can be peace and reconciliation with the one that created you. Let's keep going. I'll have you turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5, 16 to 21 is where we're going to be. 2 Corinthians 5, 16 to 21, page 966. This again is Paul talking about reconciliation. He says, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." This is a weighty and deep passage of scripture that Paul is writing here. But I love how he starts this out, how he opens this up. He says, because of what Jesus has done for us, because we're a new creation, we look at others through new creation eyes. Not how we used to look at people. That means that our conflicts and our disagreements, our relational issues, we, because of Christ, look at those through Christ's eyes, not our own. Christ's eyes, who, what does he do? He sees the world and seeks reconciliation to the point of giving his life. So what would it look like in looking through new creation eyes, through the eyes of Christ? What would it look like if instead of holding our grudges or holding on to bitterness or being too proud to ask for forgiveness or being too proud to offer forgiveness, what if we saw those situations through the eyes of Christ, who came to give his life for the sake of reconciliation and restoration of relationship? What would it look like if instead of holding something against a brother or sister in the faith, something that God has already forgiven them for, that we don't hold them against that and forgive them as God has forgiven them in Christ? If we sought to show grace in that way. The question for us that stands out in the first section of this passage that we just read is, are we looking at people according to the flesh? Paul uses the term flesh to talk about our old sinful selves, not the transformed us that Jesus comes and brings. Are we looking at people? Are we looking at our conflicts in relationship in the places where there needs to be forgiveness given or forgiveness sought, in our old fleshly self? Are we looking at those situations in the new created self through the eyes of Christ? Paul continues to say, if you're a Christian this morning, you've been reconciled to God, but also you have been entrusted as a messenger of reconciliation, that we've been given the message of reconciliation. We've not just been reconciled, but we're called to share that message of reconciliation to other people, to let them know that their relationship with the one who created them can be restored in Christ. Paul calls us ambassadors for Christ, that God is making his appeal through us. God reconciles himself to us and then uses us as the people who would spread his message of reconciliation to others. In the words of Paul, imploring others to be reconciled to God. It would be strange if the ambassador of Canada to Ireland, let's say, if that person did not reflect Canada's values, that person was not Canadian, if that person was just not in step with what his sending country was asking him to do as representative of Canada in Ireland. The same way we are ambassadors of Christ here, in the context of this message of reconciliation. That we are called to spread this word of God reconciling the world to himself in Christ. But it would be strange if we, as ambassadors of this message, were not those who also sought reconciliation in our own relationships, in our own conflicts. We're called to be people of reconciliation, who have been reconciled to God through Christ, who share that message of God's reconciliation to others, and also who reconcile with others in our own relationships. We are a reconciling community. And in concert with what we've been talking about over the past several weeks, being a reconciling community, we show our peculiarity from the rest of the world in how we seek to initiate reconciliation with others in a way where the rest of the world doesn't care about that as much, where the going thing is to sweep it under the rug or to pretend like it didn't happen or just avoid that person or just let there be that elephant in the room awkwardness instead of going and seeking reconciliation because God sought reconciliation with us. As a reconciling community, we can be missional about it. Like we've been talking about last week, that we can offer people the hope, those who feel like, man, I'm just not good enough to be with God. The people that you talk to say, I could never go to church because I just feel too dirty, or that my life is too messed up, that I would be judged or looked down upon. We can offer the message of reconciliation that say, no, God has sought to reconcile relationship with you in Christ. Where you were once in conflict, he wants to bring together. That he no longer in Christ counts our trespasses against us. As a reconciling community, we identify primarily through that reconciliation in Christ. Here's what I mean by that. That's kind of big language, but the primary way that we define ourselves as a reconciling community, as the church, is as those who have been reconciled in Christ. That is who we are. That is our identity. Our identity is not in us feeling righteous about a situation or a conflict, that we're obviously the one in the right. Our identity is not in, well, I don't need to seek reconciliation with that person because they have no bearing over my life. No, we are identified primarily in Christ and the reconciliation that took place between us and God through Christ, so that when we seek reconciliation with people and we feel the sting of our pride being knocked down, when we feel the humiliation of having to admit we were wrong, that those won't be fatal blows to us because our identity is rooted in something greater, that Christ has reconciled us to God, that is where our identity is. As a reconciling community, we're called to show the gospel, show the work of Christ reconciling us to God through the cross in sacrificially reconciling with others. It's why you may have noticed the past couple weeks on these small group cards, the green ones, we are looking to do a forgiveness study to see what the Bible teaches us about forgiveness. How can we learn to forgive like we've been forgiven? Like, this is an important issue because it shows such a clear picture of the gospel, of who we are as Christians in forgiving and seeking forgiveness. And it also shows our heart and how quick we are to forgive. In because we've been forgiven, because there's no conflict between us and God, and seeking forgiveness where there's conflict with others. So I encourage you to look into that, to look into this forgiveness study that we're going to do. It's going to be 6 weeks. We still have some details that we're figuring out about when and where. But I would love for us to be shaped and formed as a reconciling community in what it means for us really to be forgiving people in order to reflect the gospel that we claim to cling to. If you're interested in that, fill out one of those small group cards and check the best date and time so we can figure that out and get together to do this. As a reconciling community, a church that claims to be a reconciling community because of Christ, we among ourselves as a community too should be reconciling. That if there is conflict among us, we should be all the quicker to seek reconciliation and forgiveness. And I know that there is history in churches all over the place of church hurt and conflict and bitterness and lack of forgiveness. And that is sad because that is such the antithesis of what the gospel shows us. So I want to challenge us this week, okay? Next Sunday is Communion Sunday. And there are enough places in Scripture where we are commanded and warned about division in the church as we come together in worship. Jesus, he says in his Sermon on the Mount, if you're going making an offering and you know that there is conflict or you have wronged a brother, go to them and seek reconciliation. Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, he talks about the division that they have and how they were going about communion in a very wrong way and in fact bringing the wrath of God upon themselves in doing that because of the conflict and the discord among them in how they were worshiping around that. I want to challenge us that in this next week, as we prepare for next Sunday where we come and gather around the table for the Lord's Supper, that we would take steps towards reconciliation. If there are those in our church community that we need to seek reconciliation with, here's an opportunity. An opportunity to show the gospel. Like, as the church, we have an excuse to be the one who takes the first step. We have an excuse to seek to forgive or seek to be forgiven because that shows the gospel that we believe. Let's not waste opportunities to display the gospel and how we live in relationship with other people. And yes, it's awkward. Yes, it means a hit to our pride. It means humiliation, maybe. But here's the thing. I love how Paul ends that passage with, God made Christ to be the offering for sin, even though he knew no sin, that because of him, we might become the righteousness of God. Like, because of Jesus, we can do this. Because of Jesus, we can take the first step towards reconciliation. Because of Jesus, we don't have to carry the baggage of broken relationship with us. We don't have to carry that bitterness in our hearts. Because Christ on the cross reconciled us to God, and he, in him, we can be the righteousness of God. We can take on the character of Christ. And we don't have to carry in our flesh the burdens that conflict in relationship brings. Let's be a reconciling community that in the places where there was conflict, there can now be peace in Christ. Let's pray. God, I thank you that even my own sin that I've committed against you, that is offensive to you and shows my deep sinfulness, you have chosen not to hold that against me, but because of Christ, reconcile me back to yourself. That you stand now in with open arms before us because you took the steps necessary to reconcile us back to you. God, I pray that as those who have been reconciled back to you, that we would share that with others. That we would show this beautiful picture of your gospel with others by being the ones who seek reconciliation. Lord, I pray that even right now, as uncomfortable as it might be, that you would be bringing to mind pictures and names of those who we need to seek reconciliation with. That we can show the beauty and your character in forgiving, in seeking forgiveness where there is once hostility. Because you made peace by your blood on the cross. And we thank you for that. Lord, may we be your ambassadors. May we be ministers of this reconciliation to the world. That our communities, our neighborhoods might see more of you in us through that. Amen.